Did you know that a cow without legs is called ground beef? We've got all sorts of crazy randomness, facts, jokes, and more coming up.
We got lots of info. Let's rock and roll. It's Did You Know with Rhino.
Hello and welcome to this episode of Did You Know with Rhino. I'm Rhino, this is my show, and I know exactly what you're thinking. But we're going to move on and pretend that joke never happened. In today's episode, we're going to have lots of fun and you might even learn something. So without further ado, let's do this. You know, in this show, we do talk about all sorts of crazy stuff and randomness. We also tell terrible jokes and sometimes go over movies. Most of the time, we don't do it alone. But today, your special guest is me. That's right, yours truly, Rhino. So what we're going to do is immediately go into Rhino and the Mailbox of Doom. You see, that's where I go deep into the mailbox and attempt to discover answers to all sorts of weird and intriguing questions that might exist. For example, email has told me that there are some interesting things going on with Google, and that my new Zazzle products have been posted for sale. So if you want to have a t-shirt from Did You Know with Rhino, all you've got to do is go to Zazzle.com/DidYouKnowRhino, and you'll be able to get the awesome, sorry, it's Did You Know with Rhino. That's right, all one word, Did You Know with Rhino. And you'll be able to get all sorts of cool stuff. We've got a hat out there right now that says, I know Rhino. So that's pretty cool. In the Facebook page, we asked everybody what their favorite Christmas food was. We got some pretty crazy answers. Some of them were a bit interesting, and let's see what's up. So favorite holiday foods. Some people said ham. We got a cranberry relish, dressing or stuffing. My mother says chocolate pie. So there's that. We got roasted pork and pigeon pea rice. Cornflake wreaths. That's a thing. Beer cheese. And wedding cookies. So those were the answers that were received on the Book of Faces, which the Book of Faces is known as Did You Know with Rhino. Also, you could email us if you have a question at didyouknowrhino@gmail.com or check out Twitter for all the updates at Did You Know Rhino. So since the last episode was all about Christmas, let's go over some of the things that have happened. We have now finished the B-list Christmas movie season, where Rachel and I have been watching all sorts of fun, crazy movies. Our favorite is always The 12 Dates of Christmas with Mark Paul Gosselaar. If you haven't seen it, you should see it, because Zach Morris is fantastic. It's like Groundhog's Day, but it's 12 Days of Christmas, and it's fantastic. Also has Amy Smart in it. So there's that. We also watched Christmas in Boston lately. And not Kristen and Christmas in Boston lately, but Christmas in Boston. That's how that works. And it's got the girl who played Gia in Family Matters. It's about two people who have been friends and pen pals for forever, and they were kind of falling for each other over their pen pals and stuff, but they never met over the many years and never talked to each other over the phone. And the photos that they had sent to each other weren't even of themselves. They were of like their friend or roommate. And so they happened to be able to meet for once, and they don't. They have their friends pose as themselves in order to help, you know, kind of vet it out and see if something's going to work. And it hijinks happens. It's one of those B-list Christmas movies from like ABC Family or Hallmark or Lifetime. So they're pretty cool. Also, there's A Christmas Lodge that was recently watched, and that one's mostly about a place called The Christmas Lodge. And it was being run down, and they're trying to get it to get fixed. And it was done by Thomas Kincaid back in, like, 2011. So that was the thing. So that's pretty much going to be the wrap-up for the B-list Christmas movies as the season has come to a close. Also, since our last episode, I finished Vampire Diaries. For those of you who have been paying attention, we've been watching Vampire Diaries for quite some time, just kind of binging it slowly and trying to get through all of its craziness and randomness. And we've been through all 8 seasons. They get more and more awkward and interesting and sometimes terrible at the same time as you go through. But overall, it was a decent watch, and my favorite character is Damon. So if you've ever seen the show, you'll probably agree. If not, and you want 8 seasons worth of something to binge, it might be a thing. If you like a lot of those teen-ish romance shows, like a CW show, you also like vampires. It's a great Venn diagram of both. And it's also something that you could probably just watch in the background if you really want to, if you're like working at an office or something. But sometimes the sex scenes can be a little bit racy, but it's a CW. It's not like it's True Blood or anything like that. Also, on my own, I've been watching Star Trek Deep Space Nine, which is different than the other Star Trek series. Normally in a Star Trek series, like the original series, you're with the crew of the Enterprise, and you're traveling along, and you're going from place to place, and you end up stumbling across situations and adventures as they happen. Whereas in The Next Generation, it's the same thing that happens. They're traveling across, and they run into stuff, and it happens along the way. Voyager, Enterprise, same deal. You're traveling and stuff. You run into stuff along the way. But Deep Space Nine takes place on a space station near a wormhole, and things come to them. So it's more about the character development and stuff happening in your location as opposed to searching and discovering new things. You search and discover more things about yourself. Yeah, sorry. Got a little bit too deep there. We also started The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina on Netflix. Only watched one episode so far, and I dig it. It should be lots of fun and a half. We'll see if that works. And, of course, I've been eating lots of pizza and pizza and pizza. For example, my favorite pizza in the area is Jet's Pizza. If you have had Jet's Pizza or have a Jet's Pizza nearby, you should know what's up. I always recommend the 8-corner pizza for those who are just getting into it. Always go with their square. It's a good deep dish style. And by that, I mean it's nice and square, and but it's not too thick. It's got a decent amount of bread, Wisconsin-style cheese, sauce is good, and a pepperoni is pretty good too. So if pizza's your thing and Jets is nearby, go for it. If you have had it and you like Jets, shoot us a tweet. Say, hey, I agree. Jets Pizza is awesome. If you don't think so, then be like, hey, Ryan, this is my favorite pizza joint. And I would be more than willing to check it out. Now, if you're in the Detroit area, my favorite pizza place over there is Buddy's Pizza. It's also a good Detroit-styled pizza. Their deep dish is fantastic. And there's also some, apparently Rachel likes their salad. She loves their pizza, but their salad has like giant either salami or pepperonis in it too. So that's an option if you like that sort of thing. And that's going to be your pizza minute with yours truly. I could actually talk about pizza for an entire episode. You know what? Let's continue to go on with about pizza. I prefer thin crust for pretty much anywhere else because some places have like too much bread and then some places have like not enough. So if you go thin crust, like Pizza Hut's thin crust is good. Papa John's thin crust is good. Little Caesars, I like their deep dish. Pizza. It's good trips and a half. And that's pretty much going to wrap it up for the pizza moment for this episode. Did you know with Rhino? We'll be right back after a word from our sponsor. This episode has been brought to you by Everyday Cosplay Finds. Ever wanted to show off your favorite character or group of characters, but don't see things online that match your style? Then check out Everyday Cosplay Finds, bringing cosplay into your everyday. Go to Etsy.com/shop/everydaycosplayfinds for more information. And now back to our show. Did you know with Rhino? So recently, I had checked out the movie known as Aquaman with Jason Momoa, Amber Heard, Nicole Kidman, lots of fun, awesome people in it. And I thoroughly enjoyed it. Now, to go over why I love Aquaman so much, we're going to have to go back to the beginning. Of course, most people's introduction to Aquaman is normally through the Super Friends, the old cartoons back from the 60s and 70s. Now, there's also a great cartoon in the early 2000s known as the Justice League. And it was done by the same guys who did Batman, the animated series in the 90s. And they did Batman Beyond and the Superman, the animated series. And Bruce Timm went on and did the Justice League cartoon series, which mostly had Batman, Superman, Wonder Woman, The Flash, Wally West, Green Lantern with Jon Stewart, Martian Manhunter, and Hawkgirl. And it's a good time, and they had a couple of characters that they would visit in the first season, and one of them was Aquaman. And of course, he was tired of people polluting, and he went, in this episode, was basically going to fight a war with the human world, but decided it was not a good idea. And his brother was basically kind of egging him on to do it. And his brother was a jerk. And in that episode, Aquaman and Mira had a son in that universe. And or this is a mild spoilers for that episode if you haven't seen it, even though it's been like almost 20 years. Anyways, His brother, trying to become the king of Atlantis, he took Aquaman and his son and he chained them to an active volcano. And the volcano was about to erupt. And in order to get Aquaman and his son out, Arthur, Aquaman, had freed one arm and he didn't have much time. And he had to try to free his son, and he couldn't get his other arm out, but he used his really, really sharp belt buckle and he chopped off his own arm to save his own son. And that was extremely heartfelt and hardcore. And I thought it was extremely awesome. And then they replaced his hand with a hook, a giant, like, golden hook. And that was even more metal and hardcore. So not only was he a total BA for rocking a beard and trying to save the world and fight wars and stuff, but he could command fish life, and his skin was extremely tough and strong due to the fact that he was an Atlantean and they were conditioned over thousands and thousands of years, or hundreds and hundreds of years, depending on the lore, that their skin was used to the bottom of the sea. So incredibly strong, like bullets would barely break the surface. So he'd be fine. So he's always been hardcore and one of my favorite characters since the early 2000s. Now, with that, some of the comic books from the late 90s up until the early 2000s also had him with his metal hook and long hair, and he's got a missing hand. At some point, his hand was actually like a sorcerer's hand, and it was a bunch of water, and he could change the water into like a knife or an axe or something, and that was pretty hardcore too. And then about late 2000s, Geoff Johns, who's now the big name in the DC universe, he was the writer for Aquaman. And he turned Aquaman around from being the guy with the fish jokes into something a little bit more hardcore. In one of the first scenes, Aquaman gets shot, and he kind of brushes it off because, like I said, he's practically bulletproof. The bullets basically bounced off him and just left a tiny mark. And he's like, okay, what's next? And he took a giant truck that was ramming towards him and dug into it with his trident and flipped the truck over and was like, okay, next. And it was awesome. And the entire Geoff Johns run of that comic book series was hardcore and fantastic, which continued to fuel my love for the character. Now, if you backtrack many, many years before that, I was always going on adventures when I was out on family vacations and whatnot. And my mom's family, so this would be her cousin, would come out with us and his kids, and we'd all go out to like this adventure and that place and this place, and like this part of Illinois or Missouri or Michigan or whatever. And apparently, young me would always be swimming or at like a water park or at this place surrounded by water. There's a lot of water involved. And so he would always say, I'm behind you all the way, Aqua Boy. So he used to call me Aqua Boy. I never got it, but it took me a while to figure out that I was always surrounded by water. And then eventually he's like, still, I'm behind you all the way, Aqua Boy. He's like, are you coming? I'm behind you all the way, Aqua Boy. It's like, all right, cool. So I was called Aqua Boy to him for like the longest time, until eventually I became Aquaman. So that was kind of my nickname by him at that time. It being my favorite superhero, I didn't mind at all. In fact, thought it was awesome. Also, I belonged to a group, Family Campers RVers. They used to have a big camping outing every single year. And a lot of the teenagers, which I was at the time, would be on a couple of softball leagues together in order to pass the time away. And they'd be like a team from like Texas and Oklahoma, and a team from like New York and Pennsylvania, and then there was a team from the West Coast, and then there was a team from like the Midwest, just a bunch of folks just brought together. And we decided one year to theme our team a bit, because there's a lot of fun t-shirts. Like one guy had a Superman t-shirt, one guy had Batman. So there were a lot of t-shirts available at like Walmart and whatnot. So each person claimed their own character to be, and we became the Justice League. So I put on an orange shirt and got some green pants, and I became Aquaman for that team. So it's Aquaman's always been around my life. Even watching Smallville, which was my favorite show from the early 2000s all the way till its end in about 2010, there were a couple of episodes with Aquaman in it. I remember season 4, the first introduction of Arthur Curry, or as he went by AC. He was from like Miami, and he was kind of cool and just decided to hang out at Smallville for because of Lex Luthor. He was doing something to harm the water, and it wasn't cool, so he wanted to stop it. And he was hitting on Lois, and Clark didn't like that. And anyways, it became an entire ordeal. And he was wearing an orange shirt and green pants, and he was rocking and rolling with it. And then he showed up two seasons later, or the next season, one of the two, and the Justice League was pretty much formed with Green Arrow and The Flash, Cyborg, Aquaman, and with Clark Kent, as you know, not quite Superman yet. And so they were together, and that iteration was great. And he's always like, fish jokes. Why do I always get fish jokes? And then, so they're playing on the fact that people always mistreated Aquaman's character, even at that time. So fast forwarding, the comic books now are still fantastic as his attempt to gain the throne for Atlantis was a great series. They had a great cartoon animated feature about it in one of the Justice League cartoon, well, animated feature movies. It was fantastic, the Throne of Atlantis. And then he was a playable character in Injustice, and his trident just beaming at you is pretty hardcore, and he could flip you over his head and impale you and send sharks at you and try to feed you to sharks. It was pretty hardcore. Same thing in Injustice too. So then, back when the Batman versus Superman Dawn of Justice movie came out, if you get to the very end of the movie, minor spoilers, Easter eggs, there he was. It was Jason Momoa, and he was underwater, and it was just a quick thing. And I'm like, are we going to finally see Aquaman in the movies? Like, we've seen all these other characters before, like Spider-Man. We'd seen many Spider-Man movies by this time. Batman, Superman, we've seen like dozens of those types of movies by this time. We'd seen Ghost Rider and a bunch of Blades and even a Green Lantern movie that we're just going to push by and pretend I never mentioned that. And there were several movies that were going on, and then Superman had gotten his movie, and then the Marvel Cinematic Universe with like Iron Man, Captain America. They even had Hawkeye in a movie. Of course, Hawkeye's pretty awesome, and they're working on Ant-Man and stuff. So it was a great time to have all sorts of superheroes. And then I see Aquaman, I'm like, no, this could be extremely awesome. And I got to Justice League, and it proved that his character was indeed fantastically awesome. Jason Momoa did a fantastic job, and there was armor and everything, and he's cutting through parademons and jumping off of buildings and stuff and being hardcore and reckless and awesome, and I thought it was fantastic. And then getting to this movie, Aquaman, I thought it was awesome. As someone who's read the comic books and gone through the stories, I thought they did a great homage to his history. It is indeed an origin story, and it also takes place just after the Justice League movie. They do reference it. And it's a great way to show how he got where he is, his relationship with Atlantis, his relationship with Mira. There was even Black Manta in it, and his brother Orm, and they even showed the trench, which was scary and awesome at the same time. Even Julie Andrews was in the movie for a bit. It was awesome. Some people weren't too fond of it, but I enjoyed a lot of the action scenes. I enjoyed the gladiator scenes. The war was pretty cool. And as him being my favorite superhero, I thought it was extremely well done. Some of the dialogue, of course, wasn't too fantastic. It is a comic book movie sometimes. They don't necessarily get all the dialogue right, but story was pretty well. A couple of minor plot holes here or there. So overall, I would give the Aquaman movie an 8.5 out of 10. Jason Momoa's performance, I'd give a 10. Gotta love that dude. And that's my quick / not so quick review and my love of Aquaman. Now, I was thinking to myself, Aquaman, he gets his name because of water. And I was trying to think of what would be some sort of weird superheroes that probably have really, really weird names. Like if I were to be a superhero and I had the ability to change my hand into like different shapes, would I call myself like the amazing Changeo Fist? Like That would be a weird name. Like, what if your powers were that you could grow like quills or spikes on your back? Would you be like Porcupine Man? Or what if you all of a sudden were able to turn into like turn into the color blue itself, just a giant light of blue? Would you be called like the Blue Light? Like, how do they come up with some of their names? So I guess my question for this week, for those of you online, is if you were a superhero, what powers would you have and what would you name that superhero? If you want to respond to that, you could email us at didyouknowryano@gmail.com. You could also tweet at us at didyouknowryano, or you could check us out on the Facebook page, Did You Know with Ryan O. With that being said, my friends, I believe that's all we've got time for with this mini episode. Be sure to check with us in 2 weeks for all sorts of awesome adventures and whatnot. And until then, find your awesome, hold on to it, and share it with the world. I've been Ryan O. I'll see you next time. Did you know it, Ryan O? Did you know it?